Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's show is all about hauntings, ghosts, and we've got some readings. If there's anything you'd like to give us a call about, whether it's a previous reading you'd like to share with us, any strange stories you have or any experiences, please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Sit back, get yourselves a drink, open your minds, and please enjoy the show.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hello. Welcome to Broken Up.
You're scaring me.
It is the end of the day, suddenly, right?
Yeah, I went on ahead and phased it out. I really, really, really like that song.
Phased it out real quickly.
I love that song, but it just, it sounds sketchy to us.
Well, it does. It sounds like it's like an old, you know, wind-up handheld vinyl music box, and you can not get any constant speed, and it's slightly warped or something.
Well, see, the song already sounds like that, is the thing.
Oh, right.
But it really, really sounds like it's not supposed to sound to us.
Right.
But everybody else here is it sounding great, and they're the ones that matter, but it just, anyway, I just kind of, you know, went on ahead and ended it because I'm really excited about today's show.
Why is that?
Because we're going to talk about interesting things like hauntings and ghosty-wosties and just, you know, any other, you know, interesting paranormal topic that anybody may want to share, any of your own experiences. And, of course, you know, everybody comes around for the readings. You know, everybody always has some sort of question. Speaking of which, we do have quite a few people in the queue. So we see you there, but we are going to talk a little bit about our topic. And the first caller we're going to take is a caller from 617, just so you'll know. But why don't you, you know, what's up?
Well, I tried to get my, I'm supposed to be going ghost hunting in a couple of weeks, and I tried to get myself booked today, but for some reason I couldn't get through. But,
should
be a problem. What? No, you don't know. Just me, all alone. But I've sent a message to on the message board where the other people are that are going, and some of them can't get through, so hopefully I'll be able to get through tomorrow and get that booked.
Right.
That's at a place called Stanley Palace. It's supposed to be one of the most haunted places in Chester. So that should be interesting. You get like I think I mentioned that before, you get a DVD of the night. So I imagine somebody's going to be going around with a night vision camera. And that,
right.
So I wasn't sure about going at first, you know. Not because, you know, I was scared.
Yes, you were. You're scared.
But I thought, well, you know, if it's not going to, the kind of opportunity is going to come around very often for you, unless, you know, I mean, the opportunity is always there if you've got the right equipment to go out to these places, but
right.
You know, it's just organizing the place and the people. So, you know, I'm going to head on down for that. If I can get through tomorrow to book it, and a DVD of the night should be interesting. I think it's for about 6 hours, though. Finishes 2:30 in the morning, so it should be good.
I'm jealous. I'm peanut butter and jelly.
One of the reasons I wasn't sure about going is because somebody was chatting on the message board about, you know, oh, yeah, they used a board at this place, and I was like, a board? hold on a minute.
A board? What kind of board?
A Ouija board.
Oh, a spirit.
What the hell are you laughing at, man?
I was like,
you're easily
Lord.
Amused by common household objects.
I thought maybe they were going to be hitting people with a board.
No.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure, but I think that was just an instance of somewhere else. But if they start using a Ouija board in that, I'm getting out of there. I'm not going to mess around with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it's a lock-in, and I don't know how to get out. But, and also somebody mentioned about they did one, you know, at another place in Wrexham, and some people ended up getting followed home by these spirits to their homes, and the activity continuing there, you see. So I was a bit unsure about it, but, and the fact that...
That is so scary. That is very scary.
And the fact that, you know, a lot of activity, you know, it seems to get drawn to me anyway. So I imagine if I end up going, it's going to be interesting. interesting night because of all the things that's happened around me in the past. You know.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
But, I mean, what are you want to get into already?
Well, when are you going to get into it?
Well,
but there's no better time than
after,
now.
After the next song.
Did you want to just wait? Did you want to wait? You're the
boss.
Yeah,
let's wait until after the next break and I'll get into it.
Okay, okay. If anybody has a story to share, an experience to share, or if you just want to call and hear yourself talk on the over the radio, give us a call. The number is 347-215-8421. You know, we were talking about this earlier, and this has nothing to do with any of the topics. It's just one of the things that's been happening for the past few days. I wonder if anybody else saw the article or heard about the guy and his girlfriend who took their dog to the pound or wherever they took it to. It was a white pit bull because it was gay. Now somebody adopted it, but it's just kind of interesting that, you know, it's 2013. Come on, you guys. Really?
How did they know it was gay?
It was probably doing what dogs do.
Hanging around the strange clubs.
It was dressing in drag.
I wonder how many times, I mean, I can imagine why, you know, they come to the conclusion it was gay. But I wondered how many times a certain event happened before they actually realized it was gay. Unless it was just like a one-off and, you know.
I just think we're dealing with somebody that's just not very schooled when it comes to animals or even nature, period. But, you know, there you go. It's just, you know, an interesting thing. Interesting
I'm
thing.
It was a male dog.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have had a problem if it was a girl. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to take a call, and then we're going to talk about the topic.
Not quite yet. There's a couple of things we want to cover first, and we can go into it.
Would you want to? Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, would you want to cover? But then we'd be going right into them, wouldn't we? Okay. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking to the caller at 617. This is Broken Earth Radio. And if you want to call us, remember our number is 347-215-8421. Today's topic is hauntings, ghosts, any kind of interesting supernatural experiences, paranormal experiences you've ever had. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu. Thank you.
Let's take this caller, okay?
Okie doke.
All right. Caller at 617, this is Nunu and Bill with Broken Earth. How can we help you today?
Hi, Nunu. Hi, Bill.
Hiya.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Good, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you. I'm going to quickly tell you my, I don't know if it's a supernatural experience or a ghost experience. It's, I don't know what kind of experience it was, but my experience, what happened was that I had fallen asleep at my mom's house. I'm sorry, by the way, my name is Annette. Sorry.
That's okay.
That was rude of me. It's all about me. See how I am? It's all about me.
Except when I'm on it.
I had fallen asleep at my mom's house on the sofa. And much to my surprise, I could see everything that was happening in the living room, even though physically I was asleep. And this is before I knew anything about the third eye. And as I was lying on the sofa, these two beings, I don't know if they were human or if they were some type of entity, but they came from the back of the house. And as they walked down the hallway, they were startled to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was lying on the sofa, I'm watching them go back and forth, and they're bantering back and forth as to whether or not I could see them. And they were discussing it. And I can see them clearly. But I can't describe what they physically look like. They look like humans. But mm-hmm. It was more of an energy. I can't explain it. But
yeah.
It was, in the naked eye, you wouldn't see them. But in the third eye, they looked like they were solid. And they were going back and forth. And to me, I thought it was very comical because they're bantering. You know, they're going, one is going, she can see us. The other was like, no, she can. And the other was like, yes, she can. The other was like, no, she can't. And they did this for about 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then one actually walked over. to the sofa, bent down on its knees, and looked me straight in the face, and I could see it. And again, it wasn't scary or anything because it was human, more of a physical
right.
human form. And it turned and looked at the other being and said, "You know what? She can see us. She can see us." And it was funny because I'm just lying there asleep, but again, I could see them through my
right.
third eye. And they knew that I could see them. And they were bantering back and forth.
Wow.
As to who, it was the strangest thing. But it never frightened me. And I have those episodes once in a while that'll happen where I could be, again, in a sleep, and I can, again, see everything that's going on around me, and I can actually see spirits come into the room. And there are times where I would have to say, "Look, you got to go. You can't stay here. You can't
right.
be here." And I would have to escort them out of the room through the door.
Wow.
Yeah, there were two.
That's
were,
really interesting.
It happened twice, and there were two that I said, "You can't come back anymore. You can't do this again. You cannot come back." And I have not seen them since.
Why do you think you felt as if they shouldn't be there? I mean, was it just for obvious reasons, like you don't live here and you can't stay, or was it because of anything else?
I wasn't afraid. I wasn't frightened. But
mm-hmm.
Actually, one, there are some of them actually show up when I'm in distress or I'm sad or something's going on with me emotionally. That's when they will show up. And I just feel that it's an intrusion, and I don't know
right.
who they are. I don't know
okay.
why they're there, and I don't know who they are. I'm not afraid. I'm rarely afraid. I've been afraid once. I was afraid once when this happened. And when this happened, the angels just came in and just disintegrated it. I mean, it just zapped it out. I'm not afraid of them, but it's like I don't know who you are. You're not making yourself known to me. Only thing I know is,
right.
is that this being, or I don't, again, I can't describe what it is,
mm-hmm.
actually lied on top of me, comforting me. That's what I felt. It was comforting. But I still was not aware of what it was. And I
right.
couldn't accept the fact that I don't know who or what you are. So you will have to go.
Right.
But there was, I had no fear.
Well,
but I just wasn't.
Well, I've had similar experiences. I think what it is for me is partially down to astral projection.
Mm, yes.
Is that something you're aware of? Is that what you kind of call?
I feel that I do that. Because there are times where I wake up and I'm exhausted. I am physically exhausted and I am drained and I can't remember. It's not that I can't remember, it's like, why am I so tired? Just
mm-hmm.
drained, exhausted.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been traveling.
I've had the same. I've had some times where I've been astral projecting and it's felt
yeah.
like I've been on a roller coaster sometimes because I've been just tumbling through space or something, and it's extremely disorientating. And a lot of the time I wake up exhausted because
yes.
I believe people who do astral project are doing some sort of work throughout the night in the spirit world.
Yes.
Even though, you know, we don't remember it. I think that's why sometimes, you know, we wake up drained. And I'm one of the people, it sounds like you as well, who don't try to astral project, it just happens. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Because it was interesting because that happened to me one night again. I don't know what it is about me and a sofa, but all this happened on a sofa. I was actually in between leaving. I was actually about to leave my body. And I remember this plainly. I sat up, and again, I was fighting I was fighting closing my eyes. I didn't want to close my eyes because I knew that somehow I was going to leave my body, and I didn't want that to happen. And it felt like there was like a train. It felt like a train was coming towards me, and there was a bright light. The light was so bright, but it was not blinding. And it was a bright light, and I could it was coming in through the window, but I was fighting it. And I'm like, I can't go. And I was fighting this overwhelming desire to just close my eyes, and I couldn't. I was fighting this, and it just felt like I was about to leave my body, but I woke up. I was still in that state of waking up, but still leaving my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get sleep paralysis?
Huh. But what is that again?
Sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Well, it's happened to me quite a lot, and I think the point that where we're stuck between the astral world and this world, and what it is, you're kind of aware of what's going on in the room, but you're kind of stuck and you can't move. You're aware that you're kind of awake.
Well,
your experience, you're just paralyzed.
When I was young.
You can't do stuff.
When I was younger, that happened to me a lot. And let me tell you, what came to me one night, and I knew, again, I think I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I knew this was not a dream. I knew it was not a dream, where my sister and I shared a room, and we had bunk beds at the time, and I slept on the bottom bunk. And my mom always left a hall light on, so, you know, if we want to get up and get a glass of water or go to the bathroom, you know, it would be okay. And I remember one night I woke up, and as my grandmother would call it, she called it a hag that was sitting on my chest. And I knew I could not move. I could not scream. I couldn't do anything. And I knew it wasn't a dream because our bedroom door was open and the light usually would shine down on the bottom bunk, which is where I slept.
Mm-hmm.
Because this hag, it was so dark that it blocked the light of the hallway light. And it spoke to me and it told me, I know that you're afraid of me, and you will never, ever get rid of me. Ever get rid of me. And this went on for years and years where I just could not sleep. And whenever I did sleep, there it was. There it was.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times when people get sleep paralysis, two of the common things for them is seeing a hag or having a demon sat on the chest.
Yes. I've seen that. I've seen that too.
Yeah, that's very common. I don't think I've ever, because I've kind of been aware of what it was, sleep paralysis, I've never experienced something sitting on my chest. But I presume if I wasn't aware of it, it would feel like something was sat on my chest. But I've never seen anything like that. But I know there's a lot of people, the majority of the stories with sleep paralysis, have an experience or one or the other, either the hag or a demon or something. Which is really interesting.
Well, see,
I've seen the demon. I've seen the demon, and I saw disembodied spirits and beings. Again, this was when I was so young.
When you were really young. And I wasn't
aware of it. I mean, a lot of things happened when I was young, and I couldn't explain it to anyone.
Right. Well, you've got several things that are going on here with you. When you were little, because you actually had the incubus and the succubus that were sitting there with you, that's because you are a skinwalker. You have Native American ancestry.
Yes.
And you are a skinwalker. And so basically those things are there because they wanted to take your body because you were a baby.
Yes.
Now, the older, usually people start skinwalking older. Usually they start around 19 or 20 years old, but you started when you were a baby, okay?
Yes.
That's why they were there to take you. Now, a lot of times when you get older, I can't generalize, but most of the time people think something is sitting on them, but it's actually their own flesh trying to hold them in.
But when you
can break free, when you're able to break free, and the train is actually the energy, the sound of the whizzing and the buzzing and the whirring and the stirring of you, of the energy it takes to separate your spirit from your physical body.
Yes.
Okay. Now, but the situation with you being a little girl, that is actually something that's trying to take over the, a child's body to basically grow up in this world as you.
Wow.
So I mean, that's and that's why some people really have to be careful when and that they understand what's going on, because I mean, and everybody's heard the stories. Everybody's heard the stories, or some people have heard the stories about you know, people who have, you know, spirit, have they been spirit walkers, and then you have someone that comes in and someone could take it over, you know, take your body over, that sort of thing, and not give you your body back, and then you yourself are disembodied and stuck out there.
Yeah.
So that's just part of the nature of the gift, that you've just got to be careful. Go on, Bill.
I was just going to say, I know that there probably are entities out there that do want to do that, but I heard that it wasn't possible because there's like a silver thread connecting our physical bodies to our spiritual bodies, which can't be broken. And a lot of times when people try and astral project and they have a bad experience, it's because they've got fear of when they go into it. Because they've got a fear of something's going to take over, a fear of something bad is going to happen. But if you go into it with a positive attitude, you know that you're in control.
Yeah. See, my husband,
bound to have a better experience.
See, my ex-husband could do that. He could leave his body. He could actually do that. And he explains how he does it and what the feeling is and the sensation and everything. He could just voluntarily just leave his body whenever he wanted to. And he, you know, he told me, said there were some experiences that, you know, he'd be just floating around and visiting and going wherever. And I can remember one time he told me that he saw the sign of the cross and automatically he went back into his body. He says, but when it happens very quickly, he says it's very uncomfortable. So he doesn't do it very often because he doesn't like the feeling. But this thing about skinwalkers, I had no idea.
Yeah.
My grandmother is part Native American.
Right. That's actually it's a very deep conversation to get into, but with you, like I said, with you being so young, that's the reason why you had something dark there waiting for you to leave so it could jump in. But the older you get, the more attached that you really are to yourself, and that's why they it's not impossible, but it's not very probable that they can take you over the older you get. Plus, they probably really, they may not. I'm just going to put it this way because I don't know everything, but they probably don't want a grown person's body. They probably really want a child's body.
Yes. And to be honest with you, I fought this since I was a kid.
Right.
It was something very, very real to me. And again, these experiences happened so young. I mean, there was a time where, you know, I remember getting up, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather were getting me ready for church, and it was early part of the morning, and I remember I was all dressed up, had my black patent leather shoes on and my little white socks with the lace on the end, on the bottom, and I remember going outside, sitting on the swing, and all of a sudden, everything stopped. The swing stopped. The breeze, there was nothing. I could not hear the sound of the birds. Everything stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was frightened because I didn't know what was going on. I felt like I was in a trance.
Right.
And I didn't know what was going on, what was happening. Until my grandfather called me, that's when it stopped. That's when I came out of it. Everything stopped. And I was so frightened, so afraid that something was there. I knew something was there. And it was watching me in there was a bush beside the swings. It was watching me from the bush. And everything just stopped. And I couldn't, again,
wow.
The paralysis, I couldn't scream, I couldn't talk, nothing. Until my grandfather called my name. And that's when I came out of it.
Well, that's what it does to you. I mean, you can't do anything if you can't shout out. But it's interesting that when we do have these experiences and there's an entity with us in the room that appears, it's interesting the ones that can seem very scary to you and ones that you don't feel threatened by at all.
Yes.
That even the ones that look threatening, you'd get the opposite. Like I had an experience about a year ago where I woke up. Well, I didn't wake up in the night, but I woke up in my same astral body. So I was aware of the room, like you were saying, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an entity next to me in the bed, but all it was a man. It was just his skin. There was something inside him. Had hollow eye sockets.
Mm. Wow.
And
wow.
It wasn't very nice.
Wow.
But at the same time, I did not feel threatened at all.
Right.
And it's like that. You'd expect the opposite, really. So I don't know whether it's spiritual. senses are telling us this is a good person, this is a bad entity, you know, but I wasn't threatened. And it's interesting what we find threatening, what we don't, when we're experiencing these things outside of our body. So what we've got to remember as well, which is what is helpful to people, has helped me a lot, is because I can't control astral projection, is that if you're ever stuck in sleep paralysis, it's horrible. It can take ages to get out of it, because I've been stuck in it myself, is to take a nice, long, deep breath, and that should bring you out of it. Because I tried other things, and that's the only thing that seems to work, because when you fight it, it's like fighting through mud.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get out of it.
Exactly, because
so
I don't, because I'm not aware of it anymore, that it's happening, but I know when I'm feeling exhausted, I'm like, okay, I'm traveling. You know, what's going on, I'm traveling. And it hasn't happened in a while. And again, when I see these beings, you know, enter the room, I just say, you got to go. And when I say, you have to leave and don't come back, they leave. I escort them out of the house. Get out. You're not welcome here. And they leave and they don't come back. I mean, I've seen, there's just so much that I've seen. I mean, I've seen angels at the door. You know, when I was about in that episode of me being on the sofa and me leaving my body, there were angels at the door. I mean, it's what I've seen and what I've experienced. I mean, I remember getting up off the sofa and going to the door. And when I opened the door a little bit, they were angels. They were in white. They had gold belts, could not see their faces, and there were flames, golden flames around them. And I don't know if they were my guardians, they were protecting me, but when I touched the door was cool. But when I opened the door, I saw these flames, and I saw the angels, and I'm like, okay, something was happening, something was about to happen, but they were there. I mean, I can get into so much that I have experienced and have seen that
there's so much to the subject, and I know that astral projection is just a dream, because I've done it before, me projected, and I've told Nunu what she was doing at the time when I was asleep.
Wow.
I woke up and I said, what was this was going on, and it's happened exactly the way what was going on with her at that time when I was asleep, at the exact same time. I remember looking at the clock, it had been a certain time, and I was in the UK, and the time I looked at the clock was what time it was in America.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, that's what confirmed to me that it was actually something happening, and it wasn't just a dream. And one other thing that confirmed it for me as well is that I went on holiday in September, and I told myself, right, okay, then, if astral projection is real and not just a dream, then I will probably astral project tonight, and I'll come out of my body, and I'll wander around the room that I'm staying in. But if it's not, and it's more of a dream, then I will be wandering around my own bedroom, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a dream, I'd probably just imagine myself being in my bedroom. So on the first night when I got there, I popped out of my body, and I was in this room where I was staying, walking around the room, looking in the mirror, and that, and I didn't know the room that well enough for me to be dreaming about it and knowing all the details about it. So that's another thing that confirmed it for me, you know. So, but if you wanted to develop it more and you haven't done astral projection for a long time, it might be worth, you know, going to bed and just saying to yourself, right, I want to astral project tonight.
Okay.
And just try and get yourself into a meditative state. And it's a good chance that you'll be able to. And if you get to the point where you feel like you're going to do it, imagine a rope hanging down from the ceiling and your spiritual body grabbing onto that rope and pulling you out of your body. So I said, sleep paralysis happens, take a deep breath. And that's one of the best ways to get out of it, because it can be very uncomfortable.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Again, with my ex-husband, I mean, he was telling me stories where he would be walking around. I think he told me one time he was walking around the neighbors outside of their house, and I think one of my neighbors' kids thought they heard something outside, and they came and looked out the door. But little did they know that it was actually my husband.
Wow, that's
yeah.
That's awesome. You guys are so lucky. You guys are so lucky. This is awesome.
I don't find that lucky for me. At one time, I didn't find that lucky for me. That was really, it was frightening to me.
I know exactly what you mean. I had strange, you know, weird paranormal experiences when I was younger, and it scared me a lot. And I was like, I don't want this. But
yeah, and I think, but as I got,
wedding grow up with.
But yeah, as I got older, it subsided.
Well,
I still have my dream.
It subsides as you get older.
But the sleep paralysis, that was the most frightening. It lasted for years.
It's
and
horrible.
Years.
I mean, when I said I was away in September, after that experience, me walking around the room that I was actually staying in, I was stuck in sleep paralysis about an hour.
Wow.
It was horrible.
That is scary.
I was staying with my mum and dad, and I had to get my dad to check on me every night then.
Wow.
To try and wake me out of it. So every night after that, when we were away, he would come into the room in the middle of the night and try and get my attention to wake me up in case I was stuck in it, because even taking a deep breath didn't get me out of it, because it was like a prison
for
me.
I've never projected, but I had the last sleep paralysis I have was back in 2003, and I haven't had it since. But all I ever do is, I mean, I sometimes remote view in my sleep, but I don't to see anything cool. I go into the body of this Eskimo girl, and all they're doing is driving around. And drinking beer and playing pool.
That sounds good. That sounds too bad.
I was so bad about that.
Because it's the same people, and all they do is sit around talking about how bored they are. And I'm like, and I get to see this. I get to hang out with you, or, you know, in your through your eyes, and I get to see this. All right. You know, I'll tell you this. I don't want to move to Alaska. I sure.
Well, you know, it's like with me, I've been to other worlds. I've actually have been to other worlds where I've walked around with these beautiful light beings, and they were teaching. I don't remember what we were talking about, but this being was actually like a teacher for me. And where I was, it was beautiful. The colors were so vivid and real and beautiful and just, oh, my goodness, it was just... There are no words to describe it, and we just walked around. And this being was speaking to me and telling me, you know, basically this is your life. This is how you're doing while you're on Earth. And I remember very vividly that at the end of my visit, it was to be determined whether or not I was growing or not. If the butterfly that this beautiful light being held in its hand, if it was going to turn into a butterfly or if it was going to stay in the cocoon. And it turned into a butterfly. And it's like, this is you. This is you. And that was the most beautiful experience. I mean, I remember waking up, you know, with a smile on my face. But again, there, again, on the flip side of that, there were times where I could not open up. I really thought I was possessed. I could not open up scripture and read it, because when I would sit silently and read it, automatically I would go into a sleep. I would get so tired that I would have to lay down and sleep. And when I did, it was as if my body was levitating. I could touch the ceiling. And I'm like, something's going on here. Something is happening here.
Well, you've probably transcended that stuff, you know. But you have to intellectualize the ascension. You've transcended the need for that stuff.
Yes.
But that's something that you have to come to, because I mean, some people need it for their discipline, and some people just don't. In my personal opinion, I would just find it hard to come back to her earth and have to deal with getting gas again. You know what I mean? It's just you're in such an incredible place. You know, who wants to come back from that? It's kind of like going on the journey in Lord of the Rings and having to come back to the Shire. You know, after seeing all that, who wants to just go back and you know, boil eggs? It's something that it seems menial.
Yes, that's very, very true. You're right on about that. I mean, and again, for me, it's, I mean, where I've been on my spiritual journey, I mean, I've had near-death experiences. I mean, it's just amazing what spirit has been showing me and who I am. I haven't really accepted who I really am and what I am.
It sounds like you've had some really good experiences, and it sounds
like you
sound very fortunate to have these. But at the same time, some people may feel that they're a burden as well, which they can do for, you know, the early years of your life when you're a child. You don't understand what's going on, because I used to have terrible nightmares when I was younger. It used to be horrible because of these voices and things in my room, and I didn't understand them. It was a horrible time. But instead, as you grow older, they subside a bit, and you understand a bit more. It's not quite as bad, although it is scary. But, I mean, it's difficult for our minds to interpret some of these entities. Like I said, you couldn't quite visualize them properly. But I had a being that used to come to me pretty much every night, and it wasn't until about 15 years later that I realized it wasn't human, because my mind couldn't deal with what I was seeing at the time. It didn't compute. And like I said, it was only about 2 years ago that it suddenly struck me that, hold on a minute, this thing that was coming to see me every night wasn't human. It was made up of some sort of energy. You know, it was it was quite an emotional time for me to realize after all this time that it wasn't human. And I was only like four.
Oh my gosh!
Very special. I mean, this. Wow. I mean, it's just very, very special people that get to have these experiences from such a young age. I mean, just basically being babies. But you got to remember too that the younger we are, the closer we are to the source, the closer we are to who we were before we came back around again. And the older we get, we kind of get Alzheimer's. You know, we have amnesia. We have amnesia. That's you know, we're going through school. We're being retaught things. We're being untaught things. We're being, you know, told to have manners, which is manners are polite. Manners mean that you are compassionate and you care about how other people feel. But the thing is, it still takes us away from a place where we're being genuine to who we really are.
Amen.
And, we're covering things up. So it's very, very, very special for people to have these moments when they're children and to be able to even recall those moments, or even to be able to have parents that nurture those moments like both of you guys had. So, it's very, very, very special. Go on.
Sorry. I was going to say, I believe when we're younger, we're tuned in to more spiritual things and these other entities and things that are around us. And as we go through school and that, it tunes us out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said a lot of people lose their gifts and that, and they actually probably forget about the experiences they've had when you just pass them off as dreams, or, you know, and it's a shame, you know, that people, but you know, it's good to have the knowledge in that and retain these memories and remember they're not just some strange dream you had. You know, there was something more to it than just that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think as I've gotten older, now I know that I can ask for help. Now I know that there are angels. Now I know that I have guardian angels. At the time when you're young, you don't know that. But as I've gotten older, it's like, I have. You become aware and you start reading more, you start listening more. It's like, I have guardian angels. I have protection. Mm-hmm. You know, and that has brought me comfort. It has brought me comfort. And that's why I guess, you know, I could. These beings that came into my bedroom, I can say, you have to go. You have to leave. Because more than likely, I would have been frightened and couldn't move and afraid. It's like, I don't know you. I don't know who you are or what you are. So you can't lie on me. I don't like it. You have to go.
Right.
And it empowered me. I wasn't angry, but I was stern. You have to go. And I have not seen them since. Haven't seen them.
Well, one of the best experiences that I find is to have that confirmation in your life that these things are real. It's such an amazing experience.
Yes.
It's like when you hear about these things, and then all of a sudden it's there in your face, and you think, this is real. It's like when UFOs, you hear people talking about UFOs and aliens, you know, and you experience, like I experienced one for myself a few years ago.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, this is confirmation, and it's such a great feeling. And when you feel out of tune, you think, is this real? You can think back to these experiences and say, well, I've experienced this for myself, and, you know, it's confirmed that there is more to this life than what the mainstream media tells us.
Absolutely. I could sit here all day and speak with the two of you. I'm sorry for your audience. I'm so, so sorry.
This is good because I'm telling you, we really do appreciate when someone calls and shares.
We don't always get enough of this, you see.
We don't get enough of it because sometimes we'll just sit here, you know, we'll talk about the topic and then somebody calls up and they ask something that's so, you know, it's completely away from what we were talking about. Mm. But I mean, it's okay. It's okay. But the thing is, it's nice to actually have someone to call.
It's nice for someone to share rather than just get the read and then disappear and not listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
See, I've never spoken to anybody about this. The thing about it is I've never spoken to anyone about this.
We're so,
so actually
lucky.
The two of you are the first ones I've actually have opened up and spoke
sharing.
To this about.
We're really lucky. We're very lucky.
You know,
I'm lucky,
you know,
too,
you know,
just to hear the two of you and know your your experiences that, you know, I'm not. I never thought I was crazy. I never thought when I was young. I never thought I was crazy. I knew something was going on, but I always watched my grandmother because, in a lot of ways, my grandmother. I don't know if my grandmother bought these entities in, because she dabbled. At night, she would put. When we were kids, she would put. Herbs and roots and things under our pillows at night. And she would also put a stream of salt at the door, and she would have salt in the corners. I never knew what that meant, but I always followed my grandmother.
She was protecting you guys because whatever she was doing to make it through life, to make her money, to bring her luck or whatever, because she was talking with spirit. So she was protecting you guys. That salt, and whatever herb she was putting there, that was protecting you guys. But as far as your guides, you know, the way that your guides appeared to you with fire and protection and all that kind of that's such an awesome sight, such an awesome experience. I think that's a really, really great experience. Annette, I want, if you would. Mm-hmm. We're on Facebook. We're on Facebook under Broken Earth Radio Show.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook under Psychic Nunu. I'd like it if you would like our page and keep in touch with us. We're on every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central. I believe that you're on Eastern time, so it's 3 p.m. Eastern.
3 p.m.
And 8 p.m. UK to anybody who might be listening somewhere else and needs to have the UK as a point of reference. But it is. Gosh, it was nice talking to you.
You
it really,
well.
Really is.
You as well. You and Bill, definitely. Definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely
Thank
a
you so
pleasure.
Much.
I feel truly blessed. Truly, truly blessed.
Well, I do too.
I know you know there's people out there that you talk to about these things as well.
Of course.
That's crazy, yeah. After all.
This is good for me because for me it feels like I can expand myself a lot more and not be so afraid. And that's what
don't be afraid.
Yes, that's what's kept me from really expanding and opening up to my gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can develop them if you want to.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both so very much. This is so good. So good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have a blessed day.
Alrighty. You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's awesome. That was
That was great. That was a good sharing experience.
Very good sharing experience. If anybody wants to call up and ask any questions, our phone number is 347-215-8421. We are going to take a break. We do have some more callers in the queue. So when we get back, and we're going to chat about some things, but when we do come back, we're going to take the caller from 484. But in the meantime, if you want to give us a call, to share with us. But we're going to take a little bit of a break. Need to stop talking for a minute. Hold on just a moment.
What are we playing?
Well, I wanted to play that one song, that sunscreen song, but it's seven minutes long.
The Baz Luhrmann thing. Well, maybe we can play it at the end of the show. Why don't you play Linkin Park, my song of the week, Skin and Bone?
Do I have to?
No.
Really?
You're gonna.
I'm only kidding. We'll be right back, everybody.
Ashes, dust, and dust. Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth. I am so excited because The Walking Dead is going to come back. I believe it's next weekend, not this weekend, but the next.
Well, I don't really get into series very much. Walking Dead was good. I enjoyed that. But I don't know. I mean, I got into Heroes the first season, then I went downhill the second season, the same time as like the writer's strike was on. And the other thing I'm kind of sticking with at the moment is Terra Nova, kind of.
You've gotten into Terra Nova?
Yeah. Well, I like dinosaurs, don't I? So,
Walking Dead is so good. We watched some episodes together during the first season. But this is the third season already. And it's what they've been doing is they've been dividing it up into two parts. So you had some episodes and then you had a break, a couple of months break, and then they're going to go back into it. In 2 weekends they're going to start again. And I'm so excited. So excited. But I hate to wish away time. So I'm just trying to just sit here and, you know, respect each day. But I'm really excited.
You know, I've got this cool application on my phone. If anybody likes Daft Punk and Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, there's an application here. We can do your own words with it. And I've actually got them in the right order now as well. So, you know, if anybody likes that, it's pretty cool. Let me see if I get them in the right order. Hold on. Yeah.
He also has
I was about to say that
you also have one of those programs where they can make you into a zombie. Since I was talking about Walking Dead.
That's right.
Was there something that you wanted to mention before we take another caller?
When I finished playing around on the phone. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, there was let me tell you about this here. One British man is poised to become $68,000 richer. I don't know why it's in dollars. British. Richer thanks to his dog's interest in stinky garbage.
What?
Which in this case turned out to be a soccer ball-sized lump of whale vomit.
Uh-huh.
Ken Wilman was walking his dog, Madge, along a beach in northern England when his canine started sniffing what Wilman thought was a rock, but then a piece broke off and he realized it was something else. And when he got home, he did a bit of Googling. Wilman soon realized his dog actually discovered ambergris, the waxy and not-so-fragrant byproduct of sperm whale digestion, used in perfume, spices, and medicines. Ambergris commands big bucks, so Wilman returned to the beach and took it home. Since being offered $68,000 for it.
Wow. What was that stuff that you found at the beach?
Seaweed.
That's all it was?
Yeah. Well, no, there was a rock one there, and I thought it was like some sort of meteorite or something, but it wasn't magnetic. And I asked geologists. One geologist didn't know what the hell it was. Another one said they reckoned there might have been some sort of byproduct of, you know, some sort of industrial process or something. But it was like a rock, but with like a black coating on it, and it smelled like sulfur, and it's crumbly, and it's weird.
Okay, well, let's take this call at 484-484. This is Nunu and Bill at Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Hey, who's this?
My name is Tara.
Okay, Tara.
Yeah.
All right, well, Tara, share with us whatever's on your mind today.
Well, basically, I have been having a gut feeling that someone is going to be living with me soon. And I don't know how this is going to go about. I don't know if it's going to be a family member or somebody in a crisis, but that's the feeling that I've been getting. And last Thursday evening, my stomach was in knots, and I just feel like it's coming. And I don't know if you have any input on that or what I should do.
Hold on just a moment. Let's see what's going on with Tara. See what everybody has to say. Okay. Hold on just a moment, because I do see somebody here. But let me just see what in the world is going on here. Okay. There's something that's happening right now. I'm going to actually straightforward ask you a question. Have you heard anything about any of your female relatives who maybe has had a husband or a boyfriend that keeps coming and going and coming and going?
No.
No, okay. There's something that's been going on. There's a guy who looks like he keeps leaving, coming. Leaving, coming, because, I mean, there's a point here where I see him leaving. It happened four phases ago. This could be 4 months ago. It could be 4 weeks. Heck, it could be 4 days, okay, but it's four phases ago, okay? Now, what's going to happen is this looks like this keeps going on throughout the month of February. Towards the end of March, it looks like they're done, and her living situation, it's shot. You know, she can't afford it. So, but it's a woman. It's a woman, and it does look like this is something that's going to be happening around the end of March, okay? So, just, you know, watch.
So,
is
this a relative coming here that's going to need help?
From what I can tell, you know, apparently since nobody's talking to you about it, it probably is a relative. What I mean by that is if it was a friend, you would usually know. But if it was like a cousin that maybe you hadn't talked to in a while or something like that, or maybe, you know, just someone that just really hasn't kept in close touch, but you still knew her well enough at one time, it's probably a relative. Yeah, because with a friend.
Because what I'm feeling with these knots in my stomach is this is going to come on with not a lot of notice, and there's going to be a lot of this person is not going to be in a good frame of mind. They're going to be crying.
Right.
They're going to be upset.
No, you're right. You're right. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying this to go negative, because we never want to go negative, but I'm not going to promise you that this is going to be a super experience. But if somebody needs a place to stay and you have the space, however you set some sort of parameters, like, sweetheart, you need to have your own place within 2 months, because, you know, and remember, with a relationship that's been going back and forth and back and forth, I mean, she's, and with what looks like she has been having financial issues, you know what I mean, just with all the stuff that when it gets built up to that point, you know, but just, you know, you're expecting it. You're very, very intuitive. You already seem to have your finger on the pulse of what's happening. I kind of felt
like someone was going to be getting thrown out of their living situation. Like, I'm getting a feeling that someone is getting thrown out, being told, listen, you got to get out of here. So that's how they're going to come about. So I don't know. And like I said, this is all going to hit me at the last minute. I don't know if they're going to give me a phone call or if they're just going to show up on my doorstep either.
Right, right. Well, what I'm sensing is I do sense that you're going to have some sort of – I do believe that you will have some sort of notice, but not a lot. like maybe a couple of days.
Right. I mean, yeah. And like I said, I mean, so you're saying this relative has a boyfriend that's coming and going.
It looks like that, yeah, like it's a boyfriend or someone, a guy, that's been coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. You know, it's just, it's been silly. And so now it's at a place where, well, not right now, but at very soon there's going to come a point where he's just gone. You know what I mean? And so she's going to need. And so they're going to be talking to you.
Does she live with this man and he kicks her out?
No, I'm honestly seeing that he is the one that's been coming and going, and I see that he leaves and she can't stay because she can't afford it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, because I was getting a feeling that this person was getting kicked out.
Well, you know what? If she can't afford it, she's getting kicked out.
Okay.
But you know what I mean. Whether she voluntarily admits it or she just can't do it. But see, the thing is, like I said, because we want to keep this very simple, she has been having problems for a while because they, as a couple, show up as the upside down king and queen of coins. They got financial problems. And so when it all comes down to it, you know, he's going someplace, she can't stay there either. Okay?
Wow. Okay, and you said this is going to happen the end of March. It's not going to happen anytime soon?
I'm picking up around the end of March. Now, if by chance it is sooner than that, because I'm looking at just honestly like four phases away, could be 4 weeks. But from what I really believe, it's next month, third week. Okay?
Next month, the third week.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Right. Okay. Well, thank you for confirming that because I felt like somebody was moving here, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I'm like, what the heck is going to go on here?
Right. Okay. Well, Tara, thanks for calling. Thank you so much for listening. And keep listening and keep us abreast of what's going on. Thanks a lot.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Abreast. Now, somebody wants to know, how's the queue looking? Because somebody, Coach Angie, wants to know if it's worth calling in.
We have three people in the queue right now.
300 people. So it might be worth calling in, you know.
Yeah, you may be able to get through. Let's take another call real quickly, though.
Right.
Caller at 323, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi. This is Camille. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question is, do you see me not only surviving right here where I am, but thriving? Thriving in this little home that I've created for myself.
Where are you, Camille?
I'm in Alameda, California.
Okay. Alameda, California. Okay. All right, how can she thrive in Alameda?
Like thriving right exactly in the home where I have chosen for myself, really enjoying myself.
Right. We got to keep this simple because the question you're really asking is something that's a real reading, okay? We really do have to keep this very simple. But what I will do is, because I think that this will really help you, is we're going to look to see what your life cycle is currently about right now.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, we don't want to ever tell somebody no, especially when this is something that you have total control of, okay?
Right.
So what we do is we ask how. You know, how can she thrive?
Hell yeah.
Where she is, how can she do this, you know? And remember, part of it's going to be a frame of mind, part of it's going to be manifesting during the proper time. Your cycle right now is just basically called strength. That's not only about you focusing on your health, but it's also about you playing to the things that you actually have some sort of control in. Strength is a very, very, very powerful word because not only do we really want to focus on maintenance and balance? Strength is also something that As Bill knows, too, if we have to be careful about how we use it, because when we meditate, if we're asking for strength, we're asking for challenges to make our muscles stronger. And that's not always fun, is it? So what we need to actually do is focus on your balance, focus on what you can maintain, keep your mindset in a place where it's joyful, keep your mindset in happiness. But I'm telling you what's really positive about this, what's really positive about this is that you're really being told to play towards the things that you do well and to focus on your health. And that's how you thrive where you are. And that's, I mean, I'm telling you, because, and I wasn't really going to do this, but okay. The cycle that comes up next is actually a cycle that's one that's centered on where you put your energy. This is a very good cycle. The cycles basically transit between July and July, summer to summer. So you're about to enter into a cycle now that is, which starts in the summer, that is basically if you're walking down a garden path, if you walk down the path that has roses, you're gonna see roses. But if you go down the path to, you know, where tulips are, you'll see tulips. Basically, wherever you put your energy is where it goes. And so what you're seeing is you're at a huge, and you're about to enter into an even bigger time frame that's just about manifesting. So what you probably want to do is sit back at some point, burn yourself some brown candles, because brown is the color that we use when we're trying to focus on clarity. We're trying to get rid of confusion and make a list of things that are important to you that you want to actually see yourself have within the next 18 months. Get in touch with me, and we'll start seeing how you can start manifesting those. And if you put your energy into, you know, making lemonade, how fast will the lemonade be here? That's the kind of stuff that we need to be looking at. But I'm telling you, as a healer, this is an extraordinary time frame for you. But as a seer, it's all about where you put your energy. So you're not going to fail, dear. You're not going to fail, but how you succeed, that's wherever you place your energy, okay?
Right. That makes a lot of sense to me. It really does.
Yeah. Well, it's been so good to talk
Thank
to you,
you,
sweetheart. Remember, Thanks. We're here every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. So I think that's, what, noon your time? That's noon your time every
yes.
Tuesday. And you can also like us on Facebook. It's Broken Earth Radio and Psychic Nunu. All right?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
At 8 p.m. in the U.K.
Did I leave that off?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That kind of just let me out of it, didn't it?
Yes.
All weird and that.
It's very, very strange. And if anybody wants to talk with Bill, if anybody wants to get in touch with
yes.
Bill, you can get in touch with Bill through Broken Earth or even the Psychic Nunu page. But he also has his own way to get in touch with him. It's Bill Doyle. That's D like David, O-Y-L-E, at live.com. And there is also a link for the Broken Earth site where you can go and just, you know, mess around and even leave us some comments if you want to. That's on the show page.
No doubt.
So, Bill, any haunted stories?
Any what?
Any yes. haunting stories or ghostly stories?
Well, which one do you want to hear first? Well, I'll tell you what, one of the most interesting ones I had when I was probably about 12 in a dark, dark town. In a dark, dark street. It was actually during the day. Anyway, I was in the Chester Library with my mother, and I was in, like, the CD section and the videos, you know, back in the day when the VHS and, you know, tapes you could rent to watch movies. And I was looking on the, looking at the movies and that, and my mum was over like the other side looking at CDs, and there's like shelves between us and that, in like standalone shelves in the middle of the room and that, and not on walls. Looking at the videos, and all of a sudden there's an almighty crash behind me. And I turned around, and on one of these shelves, which is a double-sided standalone shelf, every single CD had come off the shelf, and this shelf was probably... It probably had about four stories to it, like four shelves either side.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lip on the shelf to stop the CDs coming off, and they're all leaning in towards the shelf. And every single one of these CDs that flew off the shelf and crashed on the floor, and all the cases had to come open and everything. Not one single CD was left on the shelf out of these hundreds of CDs that were on the shelf. And the shelf was right behind me. There was no one else around apart from my mum over the other side, and probably some bloke who was nearby reading the book or something. And my mum looked at me, and I was like, it wasn't me. I didn't do this. And besides, it would have taken such an effort for me to try and get all those CDs off in one go. You know,
right.
Try and pick up one edge of the shelf and try to like to jerk them all off. It wouldn't happen because they wouldn't be able to get over the lip of the end of the shelf.
Right.
And then somebody from the library workers came over, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get the blame. I'm going to blame for this. And they were like, oh, it's okay. It's happened before. And they started picking them up and putting them back on the shelves.
Wow.
In alphanumerical order.
That is awful. I mean, so it wasn't your big butt. Your
no,
butt behind, you didn't knock it over.
My adolescent one. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's poltergeist activity for you. There's no other explanation of why these CDs would have flown off the shelf. But I believe there's a ghost of a Roman doctor which wanders through the library.
It's creepy.
Yep.
It's creepy. Well, let's take a call.
Okay.
Let's take a call. We're talking to the person at 347. 347, this is Broken Earth. Do you have a creepy story to tell?
I mean, I was calling for a question, but I guess I do have a couple of creepy stories.
Please do. Please, yeah.
Okay, let's see which one. One story basically has me, I'm sleeping, I get this sleep paralysis thing. And when
mm-hmm.
that uh-huh. occurs, I'm able to see, images of these three-dimensional, they look like holographic bugs just like going up and down on my wall. And of course,
wow.
I'm like looking to scream and move, and I can't move or scream or anything. And then at the time I'm just like fighting it. And then the paralysis ends and I'm able to move and I don't see the thing anymore. But then, as I was able to, as I'm sitting up, I kind of still see the inference of the creatures on the wall as they kind of like just fade into oblivion again.
Right.
But yeah, so I used to see things.
Did you hear? Did you hear the first half of the show at all?
Oh no, actually I missed that part.
You didn't, because we were talking about all those kind of things at the beginning of the show: sleep paralysis and astral projection and that. And it's really interesting. You can go back and listen to the archive
okay.
show when it's ended.
You'll really like it.
Very
good story.
Cool.
It'll help you a lot. But when I was getting an image, actually, when you said that you were kind of seeing the holographic bugs going
uh-huh.
up and down the wall, it kind of made me feel like you were waking up in the Matrix and they had to drug you and knock you back out.
I used to see these, I used to have these experiences growing up all the time, and it was kind of frustrating because I used to always feel like, first of all, everybody who was around me in my waking state obviously didn't believe anything I was saying or basically,
right.
was freaked out or scared of me. And then, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm having these experiences, maybe I'm supposed to be understanding it, but, I just never really gained any insight on them. So I was just always wondering, what was I experiencing them for?
That's a great thing you're sharing right now.
Like, once this show is archived, like I said, go back and listen to what we're because we were talking for how long? It was about 45 minutes.
We were talking
this lady
for a while.
On the phone about this kind of thing.
Wow.
One of the most important things that I want to point out is if you ever get stuck in sleep paralysis, because I've been stuck in it for such a long time, it can be horrible sometimes. One of the ways to bring you out of it is to, because you can't do a lot in there, because you can't shout, you can't scream, you won't be able to make the odd noise, the odd grunt, which I've managed to do in the past. But if you concentrate on taking a nice, long, deep breath, that's brought me out of it before.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let you know that because it might be useful to you now. But listen, if you can, go back and listen to the other half of the show because you'll find it.
It'll help you. It'll help
almost
you a great
will.
Deal.
I most definitely will do that.
What's your name? What's your name?
My name is Anthony.
Anthony. Okay, well, Anthony, what was your real question?
My question was I was looking to submit a picture book, and I just was kind of curious as if it was, finished, if it was good enough to go or if I still need to work on it.
Well, submit your book. Because whatever needs to be fixed, they'll help you with that. They'll help
okay.
you with that. I'm going to tell you, I want to give you the right time frame. And if you can't get this submitted over the next week, I would probably wait until around the beginning of April.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm telling you something, I feel very, very, as soon as you said that, I was hearing just like this, a lot of like chatter.
Yeah.
I mean, just excitement. I'm definitely seeing this as something that you should do because it's something that'll get picked up. But like I said, if it's something that you can't get done within the next week, which is by next Tuesday, the beginning of April, send it in. Because I do believe that it'll get seen. If you send it in any time, in between that time period, I just kind of see it getting lost in the shuffle. But I see it being a very good book, but you just don't want to have to keep, submitting it and
gotcha.
Calling. You've seen it, because it's just going to make you feel deflated. But, yeah, go for it, definitely.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for your story, and also thank you for listening. Okay.
Almost definitely. And I definitely will go back and check out the archive.
All right.
That'll be great.
All right.
Thank you.
And all right,
with the book.
All
yes,
right,
good
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Let's take another call. Let's see. We're talking to the person at 313-313. This is Broken Earth. What would you like to share with us today?
Hey, sharing, let's see. the house that I grew up in, I do not know if it was like haunted or I must have got some context, some herbal context from somebody or sleep paralysis.
Right.
But one day I woke up, between waking and sleeping, I had like this ice cold, the back of my neck was ice cold. And I looked up at my bedroom doorway, and it was this guy in like this, like all red or some type of army uniform. Like, I think like probably the red coats or something like that. And
yeah.
He was just like, he seemed like he was in the middle of a war field or a really open landscape the way he was looking back and forth. And another time I woke up, this definitely was like sleep paralysis. I couldn't yell or nothing. I didn't know what it was back then, but I seen Medusa, like this lady, she was like 10, 11, 12 foot tall right in front of my bed. All this, snakes and everything. It's really dark. I didn't see my dad. Yeah, my dad, like a silhouette of him, like a silhouette of my dad,
right.
Like from his bedroom going out to the hallway, almost like unconscious of him actually going or of himself. And I had seen like, it was this person, I don't want to even say who the person was, but at night they was talking to me. And I seen like this demon, like this face over the person. It was like the TV show True Blood, when that demon
right.
shows up over the face. It was just like that,
right.
something like that.
Oh my goodness!
Hovering. And
wow!
Somebody else said they seen it. Like two other people said they seen it in that person. Like okay.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
That is, wow.
That's good that's been confirmed by other people as well.
Yeah, it's definitely very good. Very good. Well, what's your name?
My name is Dwight.
Dwight. Well, Dwight, what was your question for today?
Well, let me see. I want, like, just two approaches to this. I want, one, it's this thing about science that showed up. And I've been asking around with this. I'm just, you know, like, maybe what that science is about or what is the best thing to go with as far as career-wise or any type of working, like some way of making a living. Maybe it'll be a whole bunch of stuff by my nature. But
right.
The thing I would like to really know it from is, like, if some way you can find out any of this, you know, any advice about this through, like, Unarius or Ernest L. Norman, Ruth Norman, or the Brothers or whatever. They basically, like, a group of angels that I believe. I would love to know how to contact them myself, but maybe if you need any assistance, so that. But I'm kind
of. But your real question, Dwight, is where should you really place your focus for your career path?
Yeah.
Okay. But like you said, that since you have so many things that you're interested in, you're kind of concerned that the lots and lots of things could come up, but you really kind of want to see where you should place your energy because you have so many things that are kind of flying around, a lot of things that are flying around in your head.
It seems like my if nothing comes together, I don't know. I'm really worried if the future is going to suck. Like,
well, you know, but you got to remember, sweetheart, your future is we have paths. We have paths that we can take. You know, sometimes you have an opportunity to jump back on a path if you get derailed by something. But the thing is, you've got to remember that your future, we never want to say your future is going to suck. Because we want to help you make the right choices and we want to help you manifest things in the most realistic way possible, But right now, as far as where you should really be placing your energy, it's kind of a tough one because I really do see you as someone that, and gosh, this is going to sound crazy. It may sound a little counterintuitive. I kind of feel like you really need to be focusing on the discipline of your health. I kind of see you as needing to focus on the discipline as far as if you're going to get involved in martial arts, if you're going to get involved in just something that's going to keep your head focused. And just study right now because all of this, everything will start to come together. But what I really do see in you do at some point is I do see you in some sort of job that is basically just management for whether it's a restaurant or a store. It's honestly business management. But the thing is, focus on your health discipline, focus on your spiritual discipline, and just focus on school. And then you'll see how you start to wrap around and you start to get into the business management. And when you're able to just work this job, and you're able to also see where you're good at, you know, whatever other discipline that you choose to go into, karate, yoga, you know, whatever's realistic to you, you'll see that you actually are living two lives, but they both intersect because of you being that person that is able to keep control. Think about what I'm telling you because it makes a lot of sense when you actually just kind of sit back and lay it out. But like I said, put your energy into your health, put your energy into some sort of sport or some sort of a very disciplined thing like martial arts, keep studying, yeah. keep studying, and then you'll see where you're going to start bending towards business and bending towards management, and all of this stuff really kind of goes together. Because, you know, if there could be a point that you decide that you want to open up your own gym or you want to manage one, or you know what I'm saying? It just all fits. It all fits, and you'll see how it fits. But focus on your discipline, period, okay?
Discipline, period. Because, mm-hmm. The restaurant thing, that's the first time that came up because my family owns one, and they just opened mm-hmm. up another one. So, and it's surprising.
You come from business people. You come from business people. So, you know, if you start talking to your dad, if your dad says to you at some point, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that, with your skills, with your management skill, with your studies, you fit right in. So I'm telling you, just focus on your discipline.
I'm going to be able to do that, all that with, like, traveling, too, because it says, like, traveling will come up in, like, 2 years. Or I just have to wait for that flow with it.
Just wait till the flow. Don't live all your life in one day. Take one phase at a time. Okay.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah, that actually helps a lot. That's
all
something
right.
that's
okay.
so difficult. The one day at a time thing. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. It is.
Like for
but you know, you got to do it. Sometimes we have to take one moment at a time, one meal at a time, one bath at a time. You know what I mean? Seriously, it's just we have to keep focused on each step of the way. And then when you turn around, you'll look and see, oh my gosh, that's the wall I built. All right.
Wall I built. Right. You're talking about
right.
a good wall, right?
We're not ever going to talk about bad walls.
right. Okay, I see your show is pretty much about to come to an end, a close, right?
Yeah, we have a couple of other callers. So it's been so nice to meet you, Dwight. And keep listening. Remember, we're Broken Earth, and we're on every Tuesday at 3 p.m. your time.
All right, I'm sure to do that. It's very interesting. I see y'all do a lot of different things. I like the...
Yeah, a lot of food. Yeah.
In the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Thanks a lot for the
Thanks,
reading
Dwight.
And everything.
Thanks for listening.
That's really cool.
All right.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's take this caller before they pass out. 702, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you today?
Hi, this is Angie.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
How are you doing?
We're very good.
All right, thank you.
I don't really have any creepy stories, but we have tons of activity.
Oh, cool. Share. Tell us.
Well, it's been ongoing no matter where we live, but it's increased in, like, the last 6 months. We've always had door slamming. You can see the window vibrating from knocking that you can hear, but nobody's standing on the other side of the window. Door slamming into hitting people. Washing machine starting with nobody in the room. We've had that kind of stuff going on forever. But in the last 6 months, it's increased to where there's several incidents every day.
Oh, wow.
Did anything happen today?
Well, I haven't been home today.
Oh, right. So that may have been, but you weren't there.
That is, oh, my goodness.
Well, and I have a hypothesis. I have a bunch of weird little health problems that the doctors can't figure out, and so they're just saying stress. But there's no new stress in my life that wasn't always there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I've tried to reconnect with my spirituality. I'm meditating. I've been a vegetarian for a year now, and I'm trying to do everything I'm supposed to do, but the activity is steadily increasing. And so I'm not sure.
What's going on with your health, Angie?
Oh, I have costochondritis. I haven't slept a full night in almost 5 years. I have all kinds of weird little aches and pains. Just, you know, stuff like that they can't explain.
And what if, and but what now, I know that you said that you've become a vegetarian for about a year. What is a, tell me your regular food. Like, just tell me a day of food. You can be honest.
Okay, well, usually in the morning I'll start out with either I'll have some wheat toast with peanut butter on it, or I'll have a protein shake with almond milk. And then I have coffee and creamer in the morning also. And then I usually eat lunch about 4 hours after I wake up, and that's usually some kind of sandwich or salad or something with cheese. Cheese is my main protein source next to beans. And then I usually will just have a snack. Sometimes it's a healthy snack. Sometimes it's not. A couple hours after that, like a cookie or a couple cookies, or I'll have frozen yogurt, or I'll get some fruit. Just depends on how I'm feeling that day. And then I usually eat some kind of salad or like a quesadilla or something small for dinner because I get home kind of late. So I try to keep it, you know, 4 hours before I go to bed. I'm a fitness coach, so I know how to be healthy, you know.
It doesn't sound like it's your food. I was about to say it doesn't necessarily sound like it's your food, but that's got you kind of messed up. I want to think about this because I do kind of feel like there's something that's going on with what's happening in your house and you and you. Like it's connected, you know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes we can be our own poltergeist.
Yep.
It manifests itself outside of our bodies, and it you literally are like, you know, you're throwing the spoons. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's called diva, I think, where you create your own poltergeist. I think they're called divas. And I'm not laughing, you know, like.
Because you're a diva.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, you know, I believe that's the name for them because I've seen them created before.
You know you want to be on, be Beyonce, and you're being Beyonce all over the ceiling. No,
I
but,
do it in the car every day.
But yeah, that's, I'm seriously, it's everything just seems to be so knotted together. However, I just kind of feel like I need to think about this for a while, and I need to talk to some people about what could be done to work this out for you.
Would you prefer the activity wasn't there?
I'm sorry?
Would you prefer that the activity stopped and it disappeared?
Well, it's not bothersome. It doesn't, you know, mess up our day or anything. It's just curious. And I've picked up meditating here recently, trying to kind of connect with what's going on. And so far, I haven't been able to.
Well, if you wanted to, because I'm a healer, if you wanted to drop me an email with any problems you have, and I'll see if there's anything I can do to help you.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. Do you want my email?
Sure, go ahead.
It's Bill Doyle, B-O-Y-L-E, at live.com.
Oh, yeah, I heard that earlier.
Yeah, and just write down, you know, just write down what's been going on, and also write down how you're feeling, and start keeping a journal of how you're feeling and then what happens during what happens we'll say metaphysically what happens, not only how you physically are doing, but how you metaphysically are doing. Because right now we're going to be operating from the assumption that you're doing this, okay? And
okay.
So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to reconnect. We're going to try to reconnect you to yourself.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And that's the goal. It's to get you reconnected to yourself and see how, you know, just you know, try to weave you back into one thing. But yeah. So we'll see how that works. Okay.
I
see how that works.
Of adding one more wouldn't hurt.
So the thing is, you know, but it's interesting because you're an active person, but there's something that's going on with you. Spiritually and mentally, that is acting out.
Yep. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So, All right. We'll see what we can do.
It always seems to me to be connected to the fact that, you know, after so many years of not getting any good sleep, that kind of snowballs, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I've had two sleep studies. They can't figure out what the problem is. So.
Well, that's something that might help you. There's a YouTube video that I've done, which might help you a bit. But yeah, drop me that email. See what we can sort out.
Okay.
If you look at there's let me put it in the chat room.
I'll send the link on the email. Sorry.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let me put it in the chat room anyway. I was going to put the link to the site in the chat room if anybody wants to just have access to all those things at just one press of a button. That'll help. But yeah, get you straightened out. All right, Angie.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, and thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now, tell us some more stories.
We've got a few minutes before we wanted to play the bad lemon sunscreen thing. It's about 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I'd conveniently forgotten.
So we did a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so let's close the show properly, and then we can play that. Or did you have something else to share real quickly?
Real quack. Real quackly.
Real quackly.
I've had loads of experiences. Haunting-wise, I'll just run through it quickly because we've only got a few minutes left. I've mentioned them before, but I was staying in a 200-year-old cottage in a place near the Badlands in Wales. And when we got there, the garden was overgrown. And they apologized. The gardener had died about 2 weeks previous to us getting there. And while we were there, there were strange walkings around at night and latches going. There was a swarm of house flies which attacked us when we were outside one day. There was a field where we were doing metal detecting. There was only one tree in the corner of the field out of a couple of acres of fields. And as soon as we got into the corner where the tree was, the tree fell down and nearly landed on top of us all. And also one night my sister screamed. She'd gone to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
I ran up to her room and said, "What's wrong?" It sounded like somebody was running around her bedroom or on the roof or something. So I set up my night vision camera in the corner of the room, and she swapped rooms into my room where there was two separate beds. She stayed in there. And on the video, when I viewed it when I got home, there was actually a light anomaly, an orb, which comes from the bed and follows me out the room on the camera. So
wow. It was
an interesting holiday. And in the logbook, other people had said, about the haunted aspect of the building. I mean, my sister had seen somebody walking past and thought it was her mom and went around the corner and there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a few things. It was a strange time. But there's more stories, but I can bring them up again some other time. And I've mentioned them on previous shows anyway. So, if anybody wants to go back and listen to the archive shows, there's plenty on there of all kinds of different subjects. So, go back, download them, and share them with your friends in the playground.
This has been a fun show, a very fun show. Remember, everybody, this is Broken Earth Radio. We're on every Tuesday, unless we're going to not be for some weird reason. We're on a day before or a day later. 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. You can like us on Facebook, Broken Earth Radio, Psychic Nunu, or get in touch with Bill at BillDoyle@live.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future. Or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your needs. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it, or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it true. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there.
Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.